Good morning. Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. May the rest of your day be full of grace, mercy, peace, protection, and the provision of God. We are alive this morning, but you know what else is even more exciting? That is Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And I hope that you know just how significant his resurrection should be to us. That means so many wonderful things. It just doesn't mean we celebrate, we go buy our little Easter frocks, our little outfits, and we put our children, if you have little girls, they have on every color beret in the rainbow and then some. The little heads can't even hardly keep balance because we got so many barrettes. The socks that have the lace that is as wide as from Texas to California. We can do all that and all that is okay. But we've heard it said for years. Down Big Mama said it. If you had an uncle who was a deacon, you heard him say it. You heard pastor say it on every pulpit. It is not about a rabbit. It's not about painting Easter eggs. It's not about an Easter egg hunt. Those things are okay. I heard my pastor say it's okay to let children be children, but we have to teach them with balance that Easter is about something that is so much more important, and it is about Jesus Christ and how we get to know him and the things of him and how to live for him and how to serve him. And don't let those words frighten you, because serving Christ, it really does pay off. But those are things that you have to learn through having a personal relationship with him on your own. I want to talk to you this morning really quickly about the enemy, about his devices and his schemes, his plans, his trickery, his wickedness. He's a shysty devil. He's conniving. He's always up to no good. He's never in the lab, as my sissy dude would say. He's never in the lab cooking up something good on your behalf, on my behalf. You can rest assured 24 hours a day, he's plotting and planning to hurt us, to kill us. Whether it's through kill our spirit or take our very lives, he's always up to no good. But we have to be prepared. We have to be ready for him so that we don't have to get ready when he shows up. Because guess what? He's going to show up today in your life or my life on some level. But we got to be ready. And we get ready through hearing the word of God. With a sincere heart saying, God, it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me standing in the need of deliverance, God. I can pray for everybody else, but I got to pray for Keisha too. God, show me first. Show me what I need to put under subjection. Show me my flesh and help me to crucify my flesh daily. Don't you know that that's what God tells us to do? Crucify our flesh daily. That means when you catch yourself looking at something that you shouldn't, you need to say, oh, Lord, God forgive me. I shouldn't be looking at this. When we catch ourselves listening to something that we shouldn't, oh, my God, God, please strengthen me in this area so I don't listen to trash and garbage. Help me not to let other people dump all of their trash on me. We need to catch ourselves and crucify our flesh daily. We crucify our flesh by remembering what the word of God says. And the word of God says that he would not leave us nor forsake us, that he is a very present help in a time of trouble. So when you get in trouble, when you find yourself in trouble, that says to me, you don't have to look very far, that he's a very present help in a time of trouble. So whatever you're going through today, you don't have to search for God, because the word says that he's a very present help in a time of trouble. So how do we prepare and get ready to come up against the enemy? We have to stay in prayer. We have to stay in prayer. We have to make it a lifestyle. It becomes a habit of us praying, saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do you need me to do? How do you want me to view this situation? The answer is not always clap back. That's not always the answer. Because I'm sure if you go to every penitentiary, you'll find someone who clap back, but it got them Chanel handcuffs. And now they're serving time because they had to go for bad and clap back. You don't get the last word. I get the last word. Okay, well, I can get the last word all day long, but I might be riding in the back of a paddy wagon when I do. Oh, but I'll be able to say I got the last word. While y'all are out there living free, being able to go to McDonald's and Jack in the Box, I'm having to eat what they serve me, and there is no choice on the menu. What they give you is what they give you, because why? I had to clap back. My mouth got me in trouble. So it's not always you got to have the last word. So it's okay to walk away and let people think, oh girl, you let her get over on you. It's okay. That's okay, because guess who has the final word? God does. And when you let God speak, he can do in a split second what it took us 30 minutes to do standing up there having an argument. But we're still talking about being ready when the enemy comes. Let me tell you what God gave me in a vision. He spoke to me and he said, first of all, when you have a conflict with somebody and they're angered, enraged, they're being bitter, they're being spiteful, they're being mean and ugly, while you're trying to display the fruit of the Spirit, he said, don't you know that you're not fighting against that person, that individual that you see? It's a spirit. It is a spirit that's coming out of that person that you are up against. And God showed me, he said, now you can go to blows with that person. You can knock them out. You can two-piece them. You can uppercut them. And what's going to happen? You're going to give them a black eye. You're going to see they have a black eye. You might punch them in the mouth and you'll see their lip has swollen. You may even take a knife and cut them. Say, oh girl, I'll cut you up. And you cut them and you can see the scars from where you cut them. You can punch them in the stomach and you can see them fall down to the floor. You can slap them and see your handprint across their face. Okay, you damaged their body, their flesh. Sometimes people get into it and they even kill somebody. Okay, you kill somebody because you went for bad. You weren't able to walk away. You know, I'm not walking away. I'm going to get the last word. I'm going to get the last say so. So you hurt that person's flesh, their skin. You blacken their eye. But guess what? You didn't kill that spirit of anger and malice and hatred and bitterness. You didn't touch that at all. So you haven't made matters better. You may say, oh, I knocked them out. I bet he don't come over here bothering me again. Oh, I killed them. Oh, they mama fixing to be making potato salad. They gonna be wearing black walking down the aisle. You may have done that, but you didn't kill the spirit. You didn't touch that spirit. You didn't harm that spirit. When we bruise each other, if you get into a physical fight, because I know people who you can't go nowhere with them because it's always they want to get into it with somebody. And there are people who they just believe the only way that they can show themselves worthy is that they have to put their hands on somebody. And again, and it's not just people who are unsaved. It is saved people in the church who say something wrong to them. If you want to, you might get hands laid on you or almost have to pull them off of you because you can see the anger rising. You can see flesh coming up where they want to do just a little bit more than just say hallelujah and let's go over here in a corner and pray. So how God showed it to me, he said people who feel like that they have to put hands on people, and I'm not just talking about putting hands on people, I'm talking about other things that we do, that we fight against each other, and we're not fighting against the spirit that's coming out of that person. But whenever you physically lay hands on somebody and you leave damage on them, Yeah, you've bruised their body, but you haven't done nothing to that spirit that's coming out of them. Nothing at all. So how do we, if it's not the person, Keisha, if you say it's not the person, it's that spirit that's coming out of them, what do I do to tangle with that spirit? First of all, you got to know that the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. God says next that vengeance is his, he will repay. And how you come up against those spirits is something, it's profound, but it's so simple. Number one, you have to pray and ask God to give you a spirit of self-control. God wants to give each and every one of us a spirit of self-control. Self-control will allow you to stand there and watch them go off. And you can just stand there, and the whole time, the next thing you're doing, while you are operating in self-control where you used to not, you can be praying in your mind, saying, reminding God that you know what his word says. God, you said that this is not this person. It's a spirit. And you're praying this in your mind. God, I come against this spirit. I want them to know you just like I know you. God, help them. And you're praying this. And God hears you in those moments. Then number three, what you do is if it's a person, because you can't just go up to somebody and rub their arm out of kindness, because some people don't want you to touch them. But if it's a person that you know the spirit is telling you it's okay, just go kind of rub them on their arm. You can do things like that. You can go put your arm around their shoulders and say, you know what? I understand that this must really be frustrating for you, but I'm going to pray for you. And that I hurt you, not if, that I hurt you, that I offended you, that what I said made you upset, I truly apologize. And those are not my intentions. We can handle situations and they can die down so much more quicker if we begin to really focus and remember, this is not the person. It's a spirit. There's a woman that, and I'm going to wrap this up. There's a woman that I see every day that I work with. And this woman, at first, when I met her, my flesh thought it was a privilege for her to, quote unquote, befriend me and tell me certain things, you know, about the job and people. But then God reminded me, he said, she's telling you to watch other people, but you need to watch her. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit confirmed to me that this woman is a pot stirrer. She, not just with me, but the other people, I hear her being negative about the job, being negative about the supervisors, being negative about the kids, being negative about the parents. And I'm thinking to myself, if it's that bad, why are you still here? If it's eating at you that bad, why do you come every day? Oh, I'm getting ready to get out of this business. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I really wish you would. Because you don't know that you're talking to a person who's been through stuff on the job. And I've learned some things. And one thing I've learned is this, is that misery truly does love good company, a whole lot of company. So this morning, I want to say to you and leave you with this. When you come up against spirits that don't make you feel good, you know that the spirit is not from God. The person is always complaining, always angry, always frustrated, never nothing good to say. Know that it's not that person. Look past that person and say, God, you said this is a spirit. This is a spirit of anger, frustration. For some people, it's deep-rooted hurt that's never been dealt with. I heard my pastor's wife say, we got to know what a person needs from us in that moment. What is it that they're trying to pull out of me at that moment? And for some people, they may come to you in anger and they're upset and don't know how to use their words, as we tell our kids, but they're pulling something, trying to pull something out of you at that time. And it may just be, they just need somebody to say a kind word to them. They may need somebody to give them a different view of the situation. So we have to be ready so we don't have to get ready. Because if you believe that God has placed you on this earth, and every person that is walking the face of this earth, God has something for you to impart into this earth. But we got to get into the presence of God and establish a relationship with Him so we can know what that thing is. So that we can know what somebody needs out of me in those moments when it doesn't look like a good moment, when it's a negative moment. Even in those moments, that person has something that they need from you and I. So I hope I've said something today that has blessed you, that has encouraged you to see God on a deeper level, because God is calling us to live a more successful life in Him. And I say that because a lot of us are sitting on our gifts and talents. A lot of us, God has people already set aside that He wants us to give a kind word to. He wants us to give a word of direction to. But we have to keep going to God and asking Him, God, what is it that you want me to do on this day? And then if you say, God, what is it that you want me to do on this day? Sometimes God may tell you, well, did you do what I told you to do yesterday? And if your answer is no, then you may want to try to complete what He told you to do on yesterday. So this is all good news. You all be blessed today. Know that it is my honor to give you what God has given to me. Pray for one another today. Be kind to somebody today. Somebody needs you and I today. Somebody needs us. And be ready. Be ready. That person that walks in your office, say, God, do they need me for something other than work-related issues? That person you meet in the doctor's office and you sit there and you strike up a conversation. God, does this person need something from me? What are they trying to pull out of me? And this is one of the greatest things that we can do for God to show that we want to be His disciple, is to be loving and kind to someone else and do it just because you can do it and it gives God glory. Be blessed today. Better, greater. It is sooner, not later. And until next time, bye-bye.